Father, we come to you and thank you for the opportunity that we have to come and just to have fun, to fellowship. We do thank you for the opportunity that we have to minister this coming summer. We pray that it would be profitable, that you would help us to grow spiritually, that you would help us to have a burden to invest in others for eternity. I pray that you would, even now as we begin praying about it, that you would bring people to Vacation Bible School, come in contact with us that do not know your Son, Jesus Christ, that you would help us to learn how to verbalize our faith, to live out our faith, and to share it with others. And Lord, I pray that you'd, again, bless tonight. Help us to understand your word. Pray that you impress it upon our hearts. In Christ's name, amen. All right, so have you guys ever had, like, guests come over your house? I mean, all of you would probably say yes. I mean, very few of you probably have never had a guest come over your house. But automatically, when someone's coming over to your house as a house guest, what do your parents do?
Clean.
Yeah, I mean, clean, right? I mean, your mom is like, we have got to clean this place up. It looks like a pigsty, right? We've got to clean everything. We've got to wipe every single surface. We have got to get rid of all the mess. And they start to freak out, and they start to say things like, we've got to get all the dishes off the counter. And I'm like, why? I mean, like, do we not want them to know that we eat, right? Like, everybody knows we got to use dishes. And so that, why do we do that? Why do we clean up when people are coming over? Colin? To make a good impression? To put your best foot forward? Because we want to serve them, we want to give them the best, but it's not because we clean up our house because we feel like when guests come over, if it's gross, that they're going to want nothing to do with us, right? Like, nobody's going to come over to our house and come in and be like, whoa, I am not stepping foot in there in that cesspool, right? That is disgusting. Like, nobody thinks that way, and we don't think that way, but we want to put our best foot forward, right? We want to give our guests the best, and we find ourselves doing this in many different areas of our life, don't we? Sometimes our house can get a little messy, if we're all honest, unless you're like a clean freak or your mom's a clean freak. And sometimes, even in different areas of our lives, things get a little bit messy. And we want to show people what we think that they want to see from us. We only show people what we want them to see in order for them to like us or to accept us. We all have this really deep need to have a sense of belonging. No matter what your personality type, whether you're shy, whether you're outgoing, whether you're weird, whether you're funny, whatever you are, you all have this desire to belong, to be part of something, to be accepted. And you want to find a place where you're accepted. And you want to answer the question, who wants me? And so tonight we're going to look at that question, who wants me? And maybe you have never truly found an answer to that question. If you were to walk into an orphanage, a lot of those people that live there would be asking that question, who wants me? Why is no one coming and adopting me? Why was I left here? But maybe you're not even in that situation. Maybe you just live in a home where it's rough and it's hard, it's tough. You might be asking the question, why does no one care? And maybe you are acting up because you want someone to come alongside of you and stop you and just show that they care. And tonight I'm here and I want to tell you that God wants you. That you belong. There is a sense of belonging that you can only get from God. And it overlaps a lot with what we were talking about last week. But God knows every single thing about you. He knows you. He knows your name. You can't hide from him. The Bible tells us that he knows the amount of hairs that are on our heads. Psalm 139, it says that we can't hide from him, we can't run from him, but still he has precious thoughts towards us. So guys, I want you to know that God wants you, and I want you to understand that everyone can find their sense of belonging through God. Every single person in here, if you're asking that question, who wants me? I feel like I'm an outcast. I feel like no one cares. You can find your sense of belonging through God. So again, there's a lot of overlap with last week, and that was purposeful because we didn't have as much time tonight. But how can I find my sense of belonging in God when I feel like such an outcast? I mean, no one gets me. No one understands me. Everyone ignores me. No one wants to be with me. How can I find my sense of belonging? And your sense of belonging has to come from more than just like people that are like you. Because we all gravitate towards people that are like us, that have the same interests. And that's kind of where we find where we belong. Where we're wanted. That's where we're accepted. And you can find your sense of belonging through God. First of all, by understanding four truths that we're going to consider tonight. So we're going to go through four things very quickly. And as we move forward tonight, we're going to substitute the word community for the word belonging. Because we have been created for a sense of community. God created us for community. And I don't do this often, but a lot of my thoughts tonight, I've kind of borrowed. I read a book. It's called Gospel-Centered Community. So I want to give them credit for it. A lot of my seed thoughts have come from that. But God has wired us all in a certain way. Why do we have that deep desire to be accepted, to belong, to be part of something? It's because the Bible gives us an answer for that. An answer we looked at last week. Again, there's some overlap. That God created you in His image. And look at Genesis 1:26. It's on your handout. We read it last week. We're going to make another application. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Have you ever thought, who is God talking to in that passage? Right? Let us make man in our image. Anybody know who's God talking to? Ashlyn. Okay. Colin. God is talking to Himself. He is the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Something that absolutely blows our mind. But He, even before the world was created, before anyone else exists, He had a sense of belonging and a sense of fellowship and a sense of community within the Trinity itself. Something that we're never going to completely understand. But we have this deep need that has to be met by God for community and fellowship because that's who God is. We were created in His image. And before the foundation of the world, God lived in perfect harmony with Himself. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So why do we have that deep need? Because we're all created like God. And our sense of belonging can only be met through Jesus Christ. So why is this important? Why is this even a big deal? Why do I have to figure out where I belong? What am I a part of? Because God gave us the desire to belong, and it's only through Him that that need can be met. And so often, we can try to meet that desire in all kinds of illegitimate ways. A big theme we've been talking through in this series. So guys, look around. You will, not in this room, but look around in this world, you will see all kinds of people who are just fighting and attacking each other. I mean, you will see nations versus other nations. You'll see Democrats versus Republicans. You will see people marching on Washington for different opposing causes. You will find people who are trying to identify themselves and find a sense of belonging with people who are like them. And it's causing all kinds of different problems. Hashtag not my president. All these people are trying to identify and they want to belong to a certain group and they've gone to people that are exactly like them and pushed everyone else aside. And it's not going to work. The world is an illustration of how we are created to be in community and fellowship and unity with each other. So there's a problem here, right? Why is this so important? We're created in God's image. And I want you to consider this tonight, and I might not mention it specifically. But I want you to ask yourself this question. Is there something else besides God that you are running to for your sense of belonging? I'm going to explain that. Because if you're chasing anything else, it's going to fall short. So, maybe someone's let you down. Maybe that person has really hurt you. And maybe that is someone who has claimed to be a Christian. They've said some pretty harsh, hurtful things. And all of a sudden you feel like, hey, you know what? These people who are claiming to be Christians, I don't really feel like I belong with them. So we start searching for this group that we identify with. And all of a sudden we find somebody who's going to accept us and give us acceptance and a sense of belonging, and we start running away from God because someone else, sadly, has given us a form of acceptance. So I want you to think back to that question that we started at hand tonight. Who wants me? It is very easy to run to a group of people or a specific party of people in reaction to someone who's hurt you. Don't run to a group of people for your sense of belonging that finds their identity in ungodly things. Their example is one that is in rebellion against God, that goes against God's word. And there's one thing we can all find common ground in, is that we were all created in God's image. So how do we fall underneath that umbrella and come together in unity? We need to run to Him. So we've all been created in God's image. We have a need for community. We all want to feel like we belong. So why is it so hard? Why are we fighting all the time? even in the church, we need to understand the community was broken by the fall. Getting some big picture ideas here tonight. God walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. Adam and Eve never had a disagreement before the fall. But all of a sudden, Satan comes along and he starts putting lies in Adam and Eve's ears. And they start to believe these lies. And Adam follows his wife into rebellion. And one thing that's a common denominator between all of us is we're supposed to be unified and in community and a sense of belonging with each other. But we have all become very selfish. We all try to get our own needs met before we try to look to anyone else's needs. We use people to meet our own needs. For example, think of all the times that you have intentionally avoided someone who bothers you, who annoys you, or the times that you have said what people wanted to hear, just you didn't offend them. Because part of being in fellowship, according to Scripture, is confronting and helping people grow. Not just to lie to them so everything's easier. Or what about this? You have friends that you've pushed aside because they're no longer useful to you. You know what, I'm going to use this person to get in good with this person, but as soon as that happens, I'm done with this friend. Or maybe you have clung to friends who are bad examples because that's the only place where you feel like you belong. And all of a sudden that peer pressure of that group keeps pulling you farther and farther and farther away from God. And we start to use people to meet our own needs. And in Genesis 3, verse 4, "And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." So if you think about all those lies, what's the common denominator? They all took the focus off of God and placed them directly on Eve. And she started to doubt a lot of things about God. And oftentimes, we doubt a lot of things about God when things go wrong in our lives. Is God really going to keep his promises? Is God really being good to me? Is God holding something back for me that really I want and that's going to be better for me? The focus completely shifted. So we haven't said anything in our series tonight about technology. And that was purposeful. Not everything ties back into this, but how does this even tie into it? And how can we fight against this? Why is this message in this series? I'm going to be pretty open with you tonight. I would not even come close to consider myself like a gamer, right? I mean, like I have an Xbox 360 and a PS3. They've been on like twice in the last year. Okay, so not a gamer. But there is one game that I actually play pretty consistently. It's on my iPhone. I've showed some of you. I actually play Madden Mobile on my iPhone pretty consistently. Some of you are like, yeah, I know that. And my team's pretty awesome. It's pretty legit. I have all elite players except for one, okay? So here's the problem. Right now, there's kind of a big game coming up next weekend, right? The Super Bowl. So what Madden Mobile does is it keeps sending me alerts that, hey, there's like more options to get better and better players. Because there's like special events going on right now. But also the problem is, you can only do those events to get better players at certain times. So what do you think I find myself doing when I'm home and I should be spending time with my kids who I haven't been with all day? I get an alert on my phone and all of a sudden I'm playing Madden. And my wife's like, Brandon, spend time with your children. And I'm like, oh. But we all know, like, our phones have this magnetic pull, don't they? Like, sometimes you're just like, I don't know what I'm doing, and all of a sudden you're like, all of a sudden, without even realizing it, your phone's in your hand, you're checking something out, and all of a sudden you are like pushing relationships aside, and sometimes we prioritize our technology over people. And sometimes we push our relationships aside, there's this magnetic draw, and switching gears here a little bit, when things aren't right in your life, it is easy to run to technology, isn't it? You can run to it very quickly. You can get what you want, when you want it. It's never going to let you down. It's never going to mock you. It's never going to reject you. There's always going to be a game to play. If you don't like it, you can move on to the next thing. And all of a sudden, we can find ourselves using technology as an escape from like hard things in our lives. And instead of running to God for our sense of security and our sense of belonging, we can start prioritizing these things and our relationships on social media that we can quickly go in and find the information we want and pull out. We start to act like that in real life. I can go into someone's life and my relationship with them, go in, get what I want, and pull out and sign out. And it kind of overflows into how we relate to people in real life. We don't have these long-lasting relationships. So have you ever found yourself prioritizing your time with your technology over people? Like sitting in school, I can't wait for school to be over so I can go home and play or log into. And none of those things are wrong in themselves. But we've got to keep all of these things in balance, and we can find ourselves running to these things as an escape because it's not going to reject us. It's not going to mock us. It's not going to make fun of us. Relationships are messy, but God wants us in them. He created us to be people of community, and we have broken that community. And we've got to have someone to deliver us from our self-centeredness. Everything's about us. Have you ever gone onto Amazon and like shopped for something? And then all of a sudden you go to another website and there's an ad for that exact same thing on the side. You ever done that? That scares me. I guess I'm getting pretty old, right? Like I'm like, man, they're like tracking what I'm doing on Amazon. But a lot of people are like, that's awesome. They know me, right? But like, they give us what we want, when I want it, and we can run and escape to those things. But we were created for community. Our sin has broken that. And guys, the gospel restores that community, that sense of belonging. It unifies where we've broken apart. So the word gospel means good news. So as all of us are trying to find meaning and belonging and importance in all of these multitude of things, of technology, of sports, of whatever it is, other than God, God proclaims the good news. And he says that, you know what? You can't do enough to make up for breaking the law. But I can. I've done it. I've completed it. And God sent Jesus to be our substitute. He took our place. But you know what he didn't send Jesus for? He didn't send Jesus so all of us could get saved and make everybody look like us. Or only hang out with people that look like us. Or only be comfortable with people that are exactly like us. But often that's what we do, isn't it? We pull ourselves away from other people that we don't like, that aren't comfortable. God sent Jesus so that all of us would look like him. So that we would be changed into his image. And he sent him to restore a broken relationship that we have with God. We have sinned. We've fallen short of his glory, but the gospel restores that. And he wants to restore our sense of belonging. We all have common ground. We are all sinners saved by grace. So when you find yourself judging someone else, looking down on them, remember that you're a sinner too. That you are under the heading of the gospel, that you are a sinner saved by grace, and you cannot push them aside, you cannot throw them away, because God has died for them. And he died for you. So we've looked at the beginning of the Bible, now let's look at the end. We're getting big picture here. We're going to go to Revelation 5, verse 9. I put it on your handout as well, so you didn't have to turn. We're created for fellowship. We broke it. Let's look at Revelation 5, verse 9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all the nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. There were people from different nations, from different tribes, from different tongues. And guys, talk about a sense of belonging. God died for every tribe, every tongue, every nation, everyone who is different from you, God died for them. I was coloring last night with Elena. And Elena was using crayons. She has this like princess coloring book. And she took these crayons. And I mean, she was just like scribbling their faces. I mean, they were like brown, purple, green. I mean, it was awful, right? But I've told you this before. She is one of those people who's kind of like me. She wants to have all of her things like put away in place. She actually, like when you say, hey, it's time to put things away. She goes, yay. And she's like, put away. And she's like, she's excited about it. So people were laughing at her the other day because we were walking through the dollar store. And all the dollar store stuff had like fallen on the floor. And she's walking around, uh-oh. And like picking it up and putting it back on the shelves. So things out of place really, really drive her nuts. So she was coloring through the coloring book. She grabbed the crayon and she pushed it too hard and it broke in half. She freaked out. Like she could not handle that crayon was broken. So for about 5 to 10 minutes, all I saw her do was taking this green crayon, both ends of it, and trying to shove it together. And she was getting really frustrated. She was trying to grind it. I mean, there was like flakes coming off. She was crying. She did the poochie lip. I mean, like the whole nine yards. She was upset and getting frustrated that this crayon wasn't going back together. So she kind of left for a few minutes, and then she came back, and I had moved the crayons around a little bit, but she remembered. So she found the two green parts that were supposed to go together. They were obviously supposed to go together. She tried to push them back together, and she couldn't do it, and she kept looking at me and like, "Daddy, fix it." I'm like, I can't. You broke it, right? So why did I even tell that story? Because so often we do the exact same thing with people, don't we? Like, hey, you know what? They match. They're supposed to go together. They belong. And we try to fix people in these, like, put these people in these little tiny boxes that, hey, if they're not like me, they don't look like me, they don't have the same interests as me, we don't belong together. And we get frustrated and we get upset at people who aren't like us. And we try to find belonging with people that are like us. And it doesn't always work out, does it? There's fighting, there's wars, there's drama. And we can find belonging in community by realizing that we are all broken, but we are being restored by God. We are all sinners saved by grace, realizing that no one else is perfect. Guys, you can forgive because you've been forgiven. You can show grace because you've been shown grace. So how often are you pushing people away just because you feel like you don't belong or they don't belong? By knowing that Jesus is not done with his work in us, we have to know that Jesus has not done his work in us. It's not complete. We're not perfect. Other people are going to make mistakes as well. You were created for community. You broke that community. You broke the fellowship with God. The gospel restores that. But lastly, very quickly, here as we're closing up, God uses community to change you. You grow when you're with other believers. You change when you're in God's word, when you're in fellowship with him, and when you're with other believers. I can be really patient when no one is around getting on my nerves, right? I can be really loving when everyone in the room isn't annoying. I can be really long-suffering and patient. I can be very humble when everyone around me is giving me compliments. I don't have to lift myself up because everyone else is doing it. But God wants others to help you grow, and it is really easy for us to see our flaws and our weaknesses when we have to respond to other imperfect people. God wants us to come together as a church, as a community, and encourage one another to grow, and your life story does not end with your salvation. You are not saved to make other people look like you, or for you to start looking like other people. You are saved to look like Jesus Christ. Look at Philippians 1, verse 3. It's Paul. He was thankful for the fellowship he had with believers. And he said, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making request with joy. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Right now, we are in the middle of a process called sanctification. Salvation, sanctification, we're becoming more like Jesus Christ, but one day we're going to be glorified. Glorification, he's going to make us just like Jesus. But that's not right now. He promises to complete us. It's messy. It's hard. It's not easy. But we can find a sense of belonging in God because he unites us. And in Romans chapter 12, verse 10, if you read through Scripture, you're going to see all kinds of one another passages. It says, "Be ye kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another." So look up here on the screen. Look at all of these one another's that Scripture gives us. We're to live in peace with one another, to encourage one another, to build up, to welcome, to greet, to agree with. You can read all of those. I mean, guys, there's all kinds of things that we are commanded to do with one another as believers. We fall very short of this. Every single one of us can find belonging in God. He has created us to be relational beings. We have to be with each other. So a quote that hit home from a gospel-centered community, the book that I read was this: "It's not just about us becoming more like Jesus." And so often when we get saved, that's kind of where we stopped. Hey, I got to become like Christ. The bigger picture here is it's about people who don't know Jesus coming to know him as Savior and Lord. Every single one of you can find belonging in God. He wants you. He saved you. He died for you. Father, we come to you and thank you that you have given us your most precious gift in Jesus Christ. We thank you that even though on this earth sometimes we feel rejected, we feel on the outside, that you have given us a place where we can belong, and that is in your forgiveness, in your love, in your family. You have adopted us. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to love one another, to be kindly affectionate to one another in how we speak, in how we interact, that we would find belonging in you and in the community that you've given us in the church. Lord, help us to serve one another, to love one another, to edify one another, to sacrifice for one another. And Lord, I pray that we'd pray for one another. Give us a burden to not be so focused on ourselves, but focused on other people. If you could keep your heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm not going to drag this out. I just want to give you a chance to respond. If the Lord's worked in your heart at all about anything, salvation, you want to know how you can get saved, or if you just need somebody to talk to, just go ahead and stand up, go to the back of the room, and I'll close in about 30 seconds. I'm not going to drag it out, but I want to give a chance to respond to God's word. And again, even if you just need someone to talk to, we are here. We're not going to judge. We're going to do our best to help. Father, we thank you for Christ. Give us a good night. Amen. All right. Thanks, guys. If you could put the hymn books in the box and